This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to the Scout U Podcast. I am your host, Gopher Guy 05, tonight. In fact, I'm the only one here tonight. Everybody else is off doing things. Chris is on a whirlwind trip across the Southwest, and everybody else has got other items to deal with. So you've got a bit of a monologue tonight. So I apologize if it's not the most interesting thing to listen to, but we'll try and make it a little interesting and keep it short. We just wanted to give you something head into your Memorial Day weekend to be able to listen to. As you may have seen on the blog, we put out a call for questions. We have a couple of questions in a mailbag segment we'll do it towards the end of the podcast. And we'll just cover some things that you may have missed here this week in the Gopher Sports world, just so you're on top of things. As we said, heading into the nice long Memorial Day weekend coming up where everybody should be going out and having some fun. So first things first, we'll cover, obviously, this Thursday, we had the first five games of the Gopher football schedule announced. You know, we already knew that Minnesota was opening Thursday night, September 2nd against Ohio State. We found out a couple weeks ago that game was going to be nationally broadcast on Fox. We officially got the game time tonight. It's going to be a 7 p.m. kickoff Thursday night on Fox. And all indications are that it will be a full house. Still no official announcement from the University of Minnesota, but all of the inklings coming out of there are expecting that it's going to be a full capacity, no restriction crowd whatsoever. So hopefully that will continue to be true, and we'll have a sellout. In fact, I saw today, we do sell out the Ohio State game, it'll be our third consecutive sellout going back to the Penn State game and the Wisconsin game in 2019. So, you know, hopefully we can continue the atmosphere we had for those games. Penn State, obviously, better than Wisconsin. But, you know, legitimately, it's the best time you can really think of to catch Ohio State. You know, you're looking at a Buckeye team that lost a lot last season, is playing a new quarterback. Justin Fields, obviously, off to the NFL. And the Gophers return a ton. You know, they pretty much return all their starters on offense and, you know, a good chunk on defense. So this is going to be a heck of a game, and hopefully the Gophers can jump out on the Buckeyes and do something well. The next four games of the schedule also were announced today. September 11th, the Gophers will host Miami, Ohio at 11 a.m. That game will be broadcast on ESPNU. And then the week after that, the Gophers go to their arguably toughest road game. It is the toughest non-conference road game by far, where they head out to Boulder to play the Colorado Buffalo. And some people were worried that might be a later game, rile up the Colorado fans, but that's going to be a noon kickoff central time here in the Twin Cities, 11 a.m. local kickoff in Boulder, which should limit a little bit of the crowd's ability to get rowdy for that game. And that game will air on the Pac-12 network. So if you don't have the Pac-12 network, make sure you've got a spot reserved to head to a bar or something like that for that game, because otherwise you won't be able to watch it. The following week, the 25th, the Gophers have their homecoming game. Remember the controversy a few years ago when the Gophers brought in Ohio for homecoming? It's going to be sort of similar this year. Bowling Green will be the Gophers' homecoming opponent on September 25th. That game's also going to be an 11 a.m. kickoff and will be broadcast on an ESPN network to be determined. And finally, the following week, the Gophers head to Purdue for their homecoming game. The first Big Ten road game of the season also will be an 11 a.m. kick Saturday, October 2nd, with broadcast information TBD on that. So the interesting theme you're getting from this is outside of Ohio State, and obviously Colorado is noon our time, but it's 11 a.m. local kickoff, is all the other games announced so far have been 11 a.m. kickoffs. I don't think Minnesota had a single 11 a.m. kickoff last year. Now, admittedly, there were no crowds to deal with. But it's definitely going to be a bit of a culture shock to the fans who are looking to get back into the TCF You know, two of the three first home games are going to be 11 a.m. kickoffs, and the two first road games are a noon and 11 a.m. kickoff. So make sure that you get your stuff done and ready and ready to move on. So the rest of the schedule, no more primetime games will be announced right now. So you'll be the typical Big Ten, you know, 2 weeks out schedule. So we won't know any of the other game times or channels or anything like that until we get up, we're closer to September, October, and into the season. But that at least gives you a good preview for the first 5 weeks of the season and should get everybody really excited for football. Kicking off to another sport that just finished their season, the Gopher softball team playing in the NCAA tournament last weekend, you know, got off to a rough start. They got sent out to LA, to the UCLA regional. UCLA is the number two national seed. Gophers sort of arguing that they might have been a bit underseeded again, which seems to be typical the last few years with Minnesota in the NCAA tournament. But there's unfortunately not much you can do. The Big Ten is not really a big softball powerhouse in the NCAA, and they sort of get the shaft. But the Gophers had to make the best of what they did, and they didn't have to get off to a great start. They played Fresno State in the first game last Friday and lost that one 3-0. Amber Fizer, the super senior pitcher for the Gophers, had what's been sort of a common occurrence for this season. She pitched fairly well for the first few innings and then just sort of tired towards the end. Fresno State scored 2 in the 6th, 1 in the 7th. Fizer gave up 11 hits in the game, and the Bulldogs picked up a 3-0 win, basically putting the Gophers on the brink of elimination. In case you didn't know or can't remember from the last couple of years, softballs are double elimination regionals. So the Gophers fell into the loser's bracket and had to work their way back up. That started with Long Beach State, who lost to UCLA in the first round. And the Gophers took care of business in that game, winning 11-0. Really came back out the bats, found what they did needed to do. Fizer came back and pitched a good game. Freshman catcher Sarah Kinch, California native, hit a huge bomb. Natalie Den Hartog basically ended the game with a grand slam, put the Gophers up 11-0 late, and they cruised to that one in advance to play immediately thereafter against Fresno State again, who almost beat UCLA in the winner's bracket, lost in extra innings to the Bruins. But Fresno just didn't have much left. Gophers played much better. Game was tied up 3-3 after three innings, and then it was the Sidney Strelo show. Strelo threw out what would have been the potential leading run from right field with a bomb to Kinch at the plate, and then came up the next inning and hit a home run of her own. Two-run jack put the Gophers up 5-3. Super senior McKenna Partain also hit a home run late in the sixth inning to sort of ice the game. Gophers got the 6-3 win and advanced to the regional championship, where they would face those number two Bruins on Sunday. And Minnesota played a great game against UCLA. You know, they got off to a 1-0 lead. Megan Dre hit a home run, put the Gophers up 1-0. It was Autumn Pease in the circle for the Gophers, and she threw great. 7 innings, only gave up 2 runs, 7 hits, 7 strikeouts. Did the best you could do against the number two team in the country. Gophers just couldn't get any more runs. Rachel Garcia, arguably the best pitcher in the country for UCLA, came in after the second inning and just sort of shut the Gophers down. You know, the Gophers tried their best, but just couldn't find another run. Dropped the game 2-1, and their season ended. UCLA moves on to the Super Regionals, and the Gophers head home. You know, final career games for McKenna Partain, who ends the all-time Gopher career run scored leader. Amber Fizer, who, you know, will go down as one of the best pitchers in Gopher history, although she didn't have a great 2021 season. She'll go to play professional softball with the Athletes Unlimited group later this summer. We'll talk more about that later. And then Carly Brandt, Macy Gill, and Caitlin Kemet-Mueller, the other three seniors who all ended their seasons. They'll move on to better things, and the Gophers will try and regroup and come back next year. The rest of the Big Ten fared just the same as Minnesota. Michigan, the Big Ten winners, upset one game against Washington to get into the winner's bracket, but then dropped 2 games against the Huskies out in Seattle. So it's number 16 Washington advanced to the Super Regional there. And Northwestern went to Kentucky's region and I think went 1-2. Lost at least one game to Kentucky, maybe two, and got knocked out right away. So no Big Ten teams in the Super Regional this season. You know, that's Big Ten softball for you. So Moving on to a couple other big end-of-the-season Gopher sporting events, we've got the men's tennis team. You may have seen us tweeting about it, and we got a post on it. But in case you've been, you know, in a hole, the Gopher men's tennis team is basically ending its varsity sport life this season. You know, the men's indoor track team, the men's tennis team, and the men's gymnastics team all, due to budget cuts, are playing their final seasons this year. And so the Gopher men's tennis team, you know, team-wise they didn't make it, but their number one doubles team of Sim Troost and Vlad Loback made the NCAA doubles championship and started making some noise. You know, they picked up a quick 6-1, 6-3 three-set victory over Jim Hendricks and Victor Cha of Sanford in the first round, which then got them to play the number one team in the country. They ended up, or number one seed, Tim Sandolken and Finn Reynolds of Ole Miss, and they upset them. Big 6-4, 3-6, 10-4 tiebreak win, upsetting the number one seed in the country, and the Gophers were into the quarterfinals. And it looked like they were going to try and get another game. They ended up facing Guy Den Uden and Adrian Utzbach of Pepperdine. But unfortunately, the Gopher magic ran out. They dropped the first set 6-3, won the second set 6-3, and got into a tiebreaker again, and just couldn't quite pull it out. The Pepperdine duo ended up winning 10-7. Officially ending Minnesota men's tennis as a varsity sport. But Loback and Troost did go out by making the quarterfinals. They were both named All-Americans. They're the first Gopher tennis All-Americans since Leandro Trulito was named an All-American in singles in 2014, and the first doubles team to be named All-American since 2002, when it was Thomas Hogg and Harsh Mankad. So, you know, it's a bittersweet way to go out for men's tennis as a varsity program, but, you know, at least it went out in a you know, fighting fashion all the way out. One other sport, obviously, winding down its season, the Gopher track and field team. They're at the NCAA West prelims held at Texas A&M this weekend. The men competed Wednesday and Friday. The women will compete Thursday and Saturday. You have to finish in the top 12 of all the competitors to advance to the full NCAA championships, which will be held in early June out in Eugene, Oregon, at you know, the most famous track in the world there in Eugene. And the Gopher men got two people to advance off of the initial competition on Wednesday. Kostas Zaltos finished second in the hammer throw, so he's advancing to the full NCAA championships. And then Kyle Atkinson finished 11th in the shot put, also advancing to the full NCAA championships. The Gopher men had several other track athletes, Willie Burton's son, Noah Burton, being one of them, who advanced to Friday's event finals. So we'll see if the Gopher men can pull off a couple more NCAA spots here on Friday. The Gopher women on Thursday, their field athletes had some great personal bests, but nobody had qualified for the NCAA championships as of yet. They did advance several of their track athletes to Saturday's finals, so hopefully the Gophers can get a couple of the women in on Saturday, and they can bring a nice big group down to over to Eugene in June for the NCAA championships. One other interesting, well, actually, we'll keep it Gopher sports winding down their seasons. The Gopher baseball season, we've intentionally not really talked about them on the podcast. It's bad. It's been historically bad. They will finish their season this weekend. They've got four games, all at Purdue, but only two of them against the Boilermakers. Two of them will be against Penn State due to the weird pod system that they've been playing this year. But when we say bad, I mean it's been bad. The Gophers are 5-29 this season. One of the reasons why they're 5-29 is their pitching staff has been awful. They have an 8.54 team ERA. The Gophers are allowing 8.5 runs a game. That's awful. That's just unfathomable. But to show you how bad that is, obviously John Anderson has been, this is his 40th season as the head coach of the Gopher baseball team. This is his worst season in his career. If you want to go back to the last time the Gophers won so few games, as we said, 5-29 this year with four games left in the regular season, they were 4-9 in 1947. You have to go back to 1947 to find a Gopher baseball season as bad as this one. I mean, it's just, it boggles the mind how bad they've been this year. And there's plenty of reasons for it. COVID being one, you know, they've had injuries to the pitching staff. But it's going to take a lot to come back from this. I mean, it's not like they have three or four golden arms who are coming in next year who are going to magically turn this around. They definitely have some work to do, and this won't be a fast fix. You know, John Anderson, you got to start wondering. Obviously, he's been here for 40 years. Is it time for him to step down and some fresh blood to come in? It sounds like he's in negotiation. His contract is up after the season. He's still in negotiation with the U. He wants to come back. I'm sure Mark Coyle is definitely having a tough decision to make here, but I'm guessing John Anderson will at least come back for one or two more years. But you gotta start wondering if the writing's on the wall, and this might be the beginning of the end for John Anderson as coach of the Gopher baseball team. One other note before we get to questions: Joey King, yes, that Joey King, former Gopher basketball player Joey King, is trying to make the U.S. Olympic team. In what, you say? Not regular basketball, but 3-on-3 basketball. Yes, 3-on-3 basketball is an Olympic vet in Tokyo this year. And he was named an injury replacement after one of the other players went down. And he is on the 4-man U.S. 3-on-3 basketball team, along with former Purdue star Robbie Hummel and a couple other players who you probably won't recognize. But King, Hummel, and two other guys are trying to get the U.S. qualified this weekend for the Tokyo Olympics. 8 teams will make the 3-on-3 Olympic field. 4 teams have already punched their ticket. One other team will get in through another qualifier a little bit here. So this is the main Olympic qualifying tournament. The top 3 teams that finish in the tournament will get their spot in Tokyo. And right now, the U.S. is looking pretty good. They're 2-0 in their pool play after the first 2 games here on Thursday. And Joey King was kind of the hero in one. You may have seen, again, if you look at our Twitter page, we posted it. The U.S. played Lithuania in their first pool play game right away Thursday morning. Time ticking down, the U.S. was down 20-18. King goes in for an easy layup to make it 20-19. Lithuania has the ball. King's guarding his man. His man slips. Loses the ball. King picks it up, goes up to the top of the arc, drains a 3 to win the game. You play up to 21 on 3-on-3, 21 or 12-minute games. King drained the 3, well, 2-point, made it 21-20. U.S. gets the win. Joey King's the hero. Then the U.S. came back and just beat the living you-know-what out of Korea 21-3 in their second game in pool play. So they're sitting 2-0 on top of their pool, along with Belgium, who they will play on Saturday, along with Kazakhstan. So it looks like the U.S. is in really good shape to advance out of their pool. There's five-team pools, excuse me. Top 2 teams advance to the quarterfinals. So at that point, once you get to the quarterfinals, the U.S. just needs to win 2 more games. And they've got a spot in Tokyo, and you sure would assume that this 4-man team will be the team that they would bring to Tokyo. So if Joey King can help the U.S. Olympic team qualify, I would expect we'll see him in Tokyo playing for the U.S. 3-on-3 basketball team. So that sort of is the end of our final recap. And, you know, as I said, we posted on Twitter and we posted an article on the blog about a week ago asking for any questions. You know, we knew that we're winding down and we're running out of time, so we decided to go for a mailbag. We got 3 questions from 2 people. So our fellow listeners, we could have used a little bit more help, but that's okay. We've got some questions, and I'll answer them the best we can. 2 of them came from Minnesota March DTF. We'll start with him. And his first question was, who do you see as the breakout candidates for the Gopher football team in 2021? Now, this is an interesting question because, again, the Gophers are returning pretty much all of their offensive power, except for Rashad Bateman. And on defense, they return quite a bit. So who do we see potentially breaking out? Now, the obvious answer would be probably Chris Ottman-Bell as he steps into that number 1 wide receiver. But, you know, I think on the wide receiver core to pay attention to, I think Daniel Jackson might be having a big sophomore season. You know, he looked like he was just starting to get it a little bit as a freshman last year, and he looked pretty good in the spring game. And I think, obviously, You know, anybody the Gophers plays are going to give Ottman Bell the most attention by far. So that's going to be the opportunities are going to be there for Daniel Jackson to make some plays. And if he can make plays and become a true number two receiver for this team, I think he legitimately could have a really, really good season. Sticking along with that, if we're looking at number two, is obviously Mo Ibrahim is the number one back, and he's not really worried about him breaking out. I mean, he broke out. He's going to be the star. But I do think Trey Potts has a really good shot as that number two back to try and make some heads turn. You know, Potts in the action he got in 2020 looked really good. He's shifty, can be a pass catcher out of the backfield. I do think that Trey Potts could be looking at having a really good season. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, I think, you know, we know what the D-line can do. I think there's some potential breakout candidates there, whether it be an MJ Anderson or, a Rashad Chaney continuing to do what he did. I'm going to say I've got a couple potential candidates, and they might be a little more down on the depth chart. But I think obviously the Gopher linebackers needed a lot of help last year, and one of the reasons they were hurting a little bit is Breland Oliver tore his ACL in spring ball and wasn't available. I think if he's back full speed, ready to go here this fall, I think he could be a breakout candidate at one of the linebacker spots for Minnesota. Oliver definitely has some athletic ability, can hit. We all know he can hit. If he can continue to step up in the run game and cover tight ends if needed, I think he could have a really big year this year for the Gophers. And talking about pass covering, we know Coney Durr is a strong player. The Gophers at safety are going to need some people, whether it be Jordan Howden or Tyler Newbin, to step up, as we saw Abner Duber, true freshman who didn't play in 2020, but he jumped into the transfer portal earlier this week. So the Gophers don't have a ton of depth at safety. But I think corner is going to be just as interesting, Terrell Smith looked decent in the spring game. You've got, he'll be a candidate to potentially get some time at that other corner opposite Coney Durr. But I think potentially breaking out. I think true freshman Justin Wally, Mr. Mississippi, apparently he's looked really good in the spring. He's athletic. I think he might step in and really make and impress them right away. So those would be my four, breakout candidates. I'm saying here in May, obviously a lot of time before September and the season actually starts, but they would be the ones I would say we should keep a watch on, especially as we get into fall camp. He had Min-March CTF had one other question, and that was on the men's hockey side. What players do you think will have the biggest impact on the upcoming season? If we're talking returners, obviously the answer is Jack LaFontaine. LaFontaine sticking around for the fifth season. He's the number one goalie. He will play 99% of the minutes again next season. And the Gophers will live and die on how Jack LaFontaine does in net. If he has a year like he did this year, obviously the Gophers will be really good. If he backslides a little bit, then things will be a little more interesting. And then they're going to have to get offensive scoring. Sample Ranta off to the AHL. They're going to have to get scoring. And they're going to be seniors next year. But the Sammy Walker, Blake McLaughlin group, they could have breakout games, but they sort of disappeared at times too. Next year as seniors, that's not allowed. These guys have to be the number one scoring punch, and they need to come out every single game. Ben Myers, another name who has sort of been hit or miss. He can be really, really good, or he can sort of fade into the background. He needs to step up for his junior season and try and really impress. And then I think Brock Faber, the will-be sophomore defenseman, he's probably gone after next season to the NHL, and be really nice for him just to have a great sophomore season, both offensively and defensively, and really impress. If you're talking about, incomers, the name that everybody's going to be talking about is Chaz Lucius. He's been a Gopher recruit for forever. I think he honestly committed to Minnesota. He was 13 or 14, and he's finally getting ready to come in next year. He's played with the USU under-18 team this year and has looked really good out in Michigan. And the new NHL Central Scouting rankings just came out on Thursday as well. He's the 12th-ranked North American player. So when the NHL draft comes out, I think it's June or July, Lucius will be a first-round pick. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be the first Gopher forward first-round pick in some time. We're talking going back to the Blake Wheelers and the Phil Kessels. And so, you know, Lucius hopefully can live up to the hype and really impress as a freshman next year. You know, he potentially could be a one and done. You'd like to see, maybe you could get him 2 years, but he's not going to stick around much more than 2 years. If you're looking for another highly talented potential freshman, Tristan Bros was ranked the 28th North American skater in the Central Scouting Rankings. He played this year with Fargo in the USHL, brought them to the Clark Cup Finals before they fell. He's going to be another big scoring threat. He'll come in and play top six, top 9 minutes probably as a true freshman for the Gophers next year. You know, that Fargo team was loaded with a lot of Minnesota recruits. Not only Brennan Boynton, their starting goaltender, is going to come in. He'll be the backup goaltender for the Gophers next year and look to take over the number one role once LaFontaine graduates and leaves after next season. So Boynton will get 1 year of backup duty before hopefully becoming the number one man. But Aaron Hoogland is another great story. Hoogland, Roseau kid, played for Fargo. He had missed most of the last two seasons having some major back surgeries. And honestly, nobody knew whether he was going to be able to continue his career or not. But Hoogland found his touch again playing for Fargo last year, ended up being one of the co-MVPs of the force, and he'll also come in as a freshman next year for the Gophers. And so, you know, Minnesota will have some definitely scoring talent coming in as true freshmen, and hopefully they can adapt to the college game pretty quick and really help the Gophers. You know, they're whatever they can provide as true freshmen is great, but they're going to have to get up to speed as fast as they can, because next year's senior class for the Gophers, they're going to be losing a lot of talent, and these guys are going to be expected to pick up the slack soon. So thank you for the two questions, Mid-March DTF. We had one more question. Duper Clay came in talking a little bit more negatively. How many games will the Gophers win, and will they be winless in the Big Ten? Talking about the Gopher men's basketball team. Obviously, the turnover on the Gopher men's basketball team has been extreme. You know, Ben Johnson has literally right now one player who played for the Gophers last year who is still on the roster, and that's Isaiah Enan. Everybody else has entered the transfer portal, has transferred, or has entered the NBA draft. He's got nobody left but Enan. And they've recruited a bunch of transfers, and they've recruited a bunch of players from, you know, the low major, mid major group who are going to get a shot at a Big Ten schedule and see whether they can produce. Will it work or not? I don't think anybody really knows. But I think Johnson is trying to set this team up. He knows that next year is probably going to be painful, but he's got a lot of scholarships after that. You know, you're looking at the roster right now. You know, you've got coming in Charlie D'Angelo, Peyton Willis coming back. You know, was with the Gophers a couple of years ago, left for College of Charleston, now is coming back for his fifth year. Luke Lowe, EJ Stevens, Sean Sutherland, all transferring in from schools out in the Patriot League. But they're all one-year players. Right now, I think, you know, Johnson's looking at potentially having 5-6 scholarships open for the class of 2022, which is exactly what you want. If he's going to try and recruit the state of Minnesota and try and bring these guys in and especially woo them with playing time, he's going to have that for them to offer. So, you know, Enan's still got 2 years left. Jameson Battle, a nice transfer from George Washington. He's going to have a couple years to play. You know, Trayton Thompson, the true freshman coming in from Alexandria. And then they picked up an interesting JUCO guy in Abdoulaye Thiam, who, you know, a JUCO guy, whatever. But he shot 48% from behind the arc. So if he can do anything like that in the Big Ten play, which, I mean, let's be honest, is a stretch. You know, the one thing Ben Johnson brought in, all of his transfers can shoot the ball. He stressed shooting is important. You know, the Gophers might not be able to bang down low with some of the bigger teams in the conference, but they're hoping that they've got a crop of shooters who can make baskets. And obviously that's what you got to do to win basketball games. So, you know, we'll see how that all goes. You know, Parker Fox was the D2, one of the D2 All-Americans from Northern State, Matamidi kid. He tore his ACL right after committing to Minnesota, so he probably won't be ready to go next year. They're hoping that he'll be back in 2022. So he's not, you know, really athletic kid. He's not going to give you much next year. But, you know, from afar, the roster looks pretty weak. I mean, there's no real good way to say about that. Johnson still has two or three scholarships left. He says he probably isn't going to use them all, and it'll be interesting to see how he shifts them around, you know, using between 2022, 2023. But, you know, the playing time will be there for guys if they want them. You know, looking at what we know from the schedule so far, you know, some of the non-conference schedule is beginning to trickle out. Marcus Fuller was writing about this earlier last week. The Gophers are set to open up their season in an exhibition game against Concordia St. Paul at the Barn November 1st. Ben Johnson's first official game will be at the Barn against Missouri Kansas City on November 9th. Then they play in a four-team event in Asheville, North Carolina that weekend on November 12th and 14th. Sounds like it's going to be South Carolina, Western Kentucky, George Mason, and the U. You know, hopefully they would make it so the Gophers wouldn't get South Carolina in the first game. So probably a Western Kentucky or George Mason, and then hopefully you win and get South Carolina. You know, at least another SEC opponent. They're going to get another SEC opponent December 5th. Mississippi State, the Gophers will head down to Starkville and play them there. Remember, that was supposed to be a home and home, and the first game was originally supposed to be last year at the Barn, which got canceled due to COVID. I think that hopefully is getting rescheduled potentially for next season, so the Gophers will have a Power 5 home game there. So, and then you've got the Big Ten schedule. Obviously, the actual games haven't been announced yet, but the matchups have been announced. You're going to get Iowa twice home and away. You're going to get Wisconsin twice home and away. You know, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be great. This team probably is going to struggle. Do I think they'll be winless in the Big Ten? No, they'll find one. They'll find a way to get a win somewhere. They're not going to be that bad. How many games will they win? I can't even begin to predict you that. Will it be single digits? I wouldn't be surprised. You know, if we end up seeing 8-22 type season, that wouldn't shock me at all. But, you know, we'll just have to see what the final roster ends looking like as we get into the fall. And you never know, like that's the thing about shooters though, is, you know, if these guys can't actually shoot at a Power 5 Big Ten level, the Gophers could steal some games they're not supposed to win. If they can't play defense and they can't rebound, that's going to hurt. But, you know, I won't be surprised to see this team be not as bad as we would have thought, but they're still going to be a bottom four team in the Big Ten. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, you know, everybody, I think, sort of figured that next year is going to be a wash. It's going to be, can Ben Johnson go out and get these 2022, 2023 kids who are going to make a difference in this program? And that remains to be seen, but we can only hope that things will progress. So with that, we're gonna end it. Thank you for listening to my one-person rant. Obviously, I know it's not the most amazing podcast you've had here, but I do appreciate the listen, and we'll get some other people back here in the next week or two, whether it be back from vacation or just back from not being busy. And, you know, we'll look forward to wrapping up the official 2020-2021 Gopher sports season. Everything should be winding down, and you know, we'll have our free-for-all summer and trying to bring you some fun content before football starts picking up again here in September. So thanks for listening. Appreciate it, everybody. As we said, yeah, we keep on saying, wash your hands. If you haven't gotten your vaccine yet, go get your vaccine. Let's try and open things up as soon as possible here. You know, and make sure that we're going to have that packed full house at TCF Bank Stadium on September 2nd. So thanks for listening. Sky Yama, row the boat, go Gophers.
Go Gophers, row the boat.